So that's one aspect that came together. Israel, the project hadn't been started in Israel at all. And even preceding that, my friend Owen was already in Iran. Interesting thing, for someone who was in prison that he'd met in Indonesia, and they wanted him to visit their family in Iran, who had become believers. So he was there. He documented the war graves of New Zealanders that were in the Tehran cemetery, and then he was in the refugee camp and the ministry operating up near Mosul in Iraq. So he came in from there. We called it Operation Sandwich. There for that time, because he went on to Lebanon, only a stone's throw from where Hezbollah are building up their rockets to fire at Israel, 150,000. And he was able to continue on documenting for the database at War Museum at Mauru, soldiers in Lebanon. They're presently in Egypt, and there's a few started there. So that was one aspect that God put together. And I mentioned there just keeping a lookout for the God appointments. And it's kind of interesting when you start on a project or an assignment, and you'll know that too, if it's a God assignment, sometimes there's extra obstacles in the way. So you can either give up or go hard. And so it seemed like there was already so many obstacles, the extra ones. My phone died basically when we started. This had to build up another phone system to operate. And when we were traveling, I got a rental car. So you've got to be, it's full on concentration when you're on the other side of the road in busy traffic. And you're looking for places, so it was just full on. And then you add into that wintertime up there, they rely on having the winter rain and the spring rain for their crops. So very important that they get the winter rain. But when you're having to start driving and all of that as well, it was like that when we were at the Beersheba cemetery. It started to get quite wintry. But then there was just a moment when that father and son came, there was just sun appeared from behind the clouds, and we had that moment that we could have that testimony. So from there we went on to an area near Tal al-Sabah, which was a place that New Zealanders played a very important part. Our Australian cousins know the history of what happened in the Battle of Beersheba 100 years ago, coming up. It was a pivotal point. It was one of the last cavalry charges in the world. I won't go into all of the details, but what's not so well known is the fact that the New Zealand Anzacs were called on to prepare the way, to take out a hill that had gun emplacements that would have mowed down the cavalry charge. And they had to do that from around 6 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon when they were able to secure it. And so some of the soldiers lying there as a result of that. I guess when you're representing something, we've had our ambassador to Israel withdrawn because, you know, we don't always see eye to eye, but when something's big, you have to send a message. So it was big when New Zealand decided to take the action at the Security Council and the United Nations, and basically was saying that the Jewish people in Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, where they'd been forever, had no right to live there in their historic homeland. So it was a very unthinking, and there's other agendas that are in the back of that. So for us to be welcomed there on a trade level as a goodwill ambassador and building up trade on that level was quite special. And then also for the assignments that God brought in around that. Following that, when we went up to Jerusalem, the weather closed in and it was snowing. So the apartment that we had was quite real close, real handy to the old city. And the next God appointment, there wasn't the sort of day you'd be out there running around doing touristy sort of things. We've been there, done that anyway. But there was people that connected who were Messianic believers. One was a Native American Indian, and his Cherokee wife happened to be in Jerusalem, and they wanted to meet up with us. So we had to make arrangements for that. Then we got a call from another American guy whose father had started the Hell's Angels in Chicago. He'd been a crack cocaine dealer in Oklahoma before God got a hold of him. He had dealt to some politicians in America that we would know. And who had held high office in America. And anyhow, and then there was another Messianic rabbi. And so we ended up meeting, having lunch together, and sharing stories. And so we thought, well, why not come back to our place as the closest? So we went there. And for 6 hours, we shared testimony. And that was broadcast live to thousands of people around the world. And then the next day, after we'd done our All Grace project in the Jerusalem cemetery, we had another opportunity to do another live broadcast. Has anyone seen those at all? What did it come across like for you?
Oh, it was very moving. It was amazing. It was not just testimonies of life, but prophetic as to what's happening now, and what we're seeing coming. And it was just the hope that came across. The lives have transformed dramatically. And when there was a repentance on behalf of New Zealand from youth group, the rabbi and his wife, highly charged, highly anointed.
Mm.
It's
special. Thanks. So if anyone wants to see those, I can send you a link. The thing was that on that level, we had opportunity to be a representative from the people we represented, our Christian believers in New Zealand and the ethnic people, and establish something from there. So that was, God just put that together. Just one of those people was only going, well, two of those people were only going to be there for that particular day. And then there was opportunity for further ministry with the drug addicts in South Tel Aviv, and then some of the people in a town very close to Gaza that had 6,000 rockets fired at it. And the unemployment rate's 50%. You can't sell your place. Who wants to buy it? They love living there, but they just hate the rockets being thrown at them. So, and there was opportunity to take heaters to some of these families in the wintertime. These are Israeli families, and people who are living in that that situation. So there was other things that pulled into the. I guess something that was interesting for me personally was being up on the Mount Carmel, the highest place along that ridge, which would be probably where Elijah had the encounter, and looking out on the Jezreel Valley, where Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, and there's a V-shaped airstrip you don't see any planes above ground, but within 1 minute those planes have to be up and in the air from underground, ready to protect the borders on Syria or Lebanon. And I just thought, well, you know, the places that we read on in the Bible and we move on all of these years, that's the reality that they face. So the other aspect of it is that we have a connection there, and if things get hazy, or as time rolls on, if we don't pass on what is true in our history as well as true in our belief system to the next generation, things get misty and murky. Not only that, modern media will come and bring noise and things that are not true, fake news, all other agendas, and try and cover it. And that's what's happened, unfortunately, with some of the politicians that serve us. They haven't recognised that that there is that strong connection there, and we need to be able to convey that, to be able to represent the truth of that, so that we make good decisions, wise decisions, going forward. So I guess that was another overlay of what happened during that time. And then there's the aftermath, is actually connecting up, relating to people, and trying to put further things together. But I'd just like to encourage you, as we finish here, to follow what's in your heart, like Dolores, that immigrant from China, talking with her on the phone. She's a believer, and she just knows that's what she's assigned to do. It might be small, but if it actually conveys something bigger than that, eventually, it might be something really, really important. And so whatever the small thing, medium-sized thing, large thing that God assigns you to do, know that he'll provide the resources. It mightn't be apparent straight away, but he will put things together in such a way that that things will eventually honour him, and there will be a good outcome. So we're all wired differently. Even when we're going to school, we mightn't fit in some places. That's not necessarily your fault, but God knows where you fit, and he wants to, whatever age you're at, be able to assign you to represent him and to be part of what he's doing. So we'll just finish with our last song. After the song and the benediction, Joseph's going to play just in the background the grave sites that we've documented, and I've underlaid that with a little bit of historic footage of the mounted rifles. So that can be just going on after we finish there. Thanks, Joe. thought we would have the Aaronic blessing for a benediction. The meaning, essential meaning from this means Yahweh will kneel before you presenting gifts, and he will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh will illuminate the wholeness of his being towards you, bringing order, and he will give you comfort and sustenance. Yahweh will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen.